Hey man, come on, we can do better than that. The song says, praise him and lift him up. Amen. He's to be praised forever. Amen. Amen. I know that the weather is inclement on the outside. Amen. But if you brought fire with you, the weather doesn't matter. Amen. And I pray you brought fire with you. And for the Bible tells us to come ready to praise and worship our God. Amen. Because when you're in here, you're sitting in his presence. And he's looking for you to talk to him. And the way you talk to him is by praising him and uplifting his holy name. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you this morning and say thank you, Master. For you have again allowed all of us to come out to your house of worship. Master, we thank you for allowing us to push through the desire to stay home because the weather is inclement. We thank you for allowing us to push through because it doesn't look like things are going to be good. But Master, because of our commitment and because of our sacrifice, we know that you will share with us today something that's precious, something that no man can take away, which is your spirit. We thank you now for you being with us. We thank you for sharing with us. It's in your son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. And let every heart say amen. Amen. We now have our opening hymn, hymn 248.
Responsible for reading is the statement of faith found in the back of hymns. Let us read in unison. We believe in God, the eternal Spirit, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his Father, and to his deeds we testify. He calls the world to being, creates man in his own image, and sets before him the ways of life and death. He seeks in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. He judges men and nations by his righteous will, declared through prophets and apostles, and Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Lord. He has come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death, and reconciling the world to himself. He bestows upon us his Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding and covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. He calls us into his church to accept the cost of joy and discipleship, to be his servants in the service of men, to proclaim the gospel to all the world, and resist the powers of evil, and share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. He promises to all who trust him forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, his presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in his kingdom, which has no end. Blessing and honor, and glory and power be unto him. Amen.
Thank you.
Oh, come on, we can do better than that. The song said you fight on. Amen. Many of us are fighting many things today. Amen. But the song says fight on with the sword in your hand. Do you know what your sword is? Your sword is the word of God. So whenever you're fighting, use God's word and watch the enemy leave you. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here today. She just told you how to find your blessing. Fight on. Fight on. Amen. 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 I got so excited. I stood up and realized that the musician couldn't see her. Amen. They got to the vamp. I had to get back down. Amen. So they can see her directing them. Amen. Amen. God is good. Amen. Anybody here today know that God is good? Has he been good to you? Is his goodness worthy of your praise? Amen. 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 I'm going to say this before I pray. I've been captivated by the House of David's movie. It's a series, and I've been captivated by it, and for some reason I can't turn it off, and I had to turn my TV off today just to get away from it. And there was something in it that caught me, and it wouldn't just let me go. And when God had told Saul that he was removing his blessing from Saul, it wasn't because Saul was such a bad person, but it was because Saul didn't do what God told him to do. And Saul wouldn't let that thing go when God said, it's time for you to let it go. I stood to say that to somebody today. Let it go. Let it go. If God says let it go, let it go. And then watch God bless you. Amen. 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 Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you this morning. Master, we're excited. We're jubilated because we have an opportunity to stand before you in your very presence and feel your love. Feel your understanding, feel your compassion, see your heart at work. See how your hands caress our souls and our spirits and give us comfort where we need comfort. Master, we thank you because you can make us strong where we are weak. Master, you can build us up where we've been torn down, where the world has just beat upon us. You can give us strength to stand with power, with dignity, with joy. Thank you for being such a good God, Master. And Master, we pray that you cover our minds, allow the helmet of salvation to reside with us, that as we sojourn through this world, that no matter what we face, we always remember that there is a cross that we all must bear. There is a death that we all must go through. But Master, beyond that is the resurrection. And that resurrection takes us to a place where we can rest in you. Allow us to always have that on our minds so that our minds won't be changed by this world. But our minds will stay fascinated with you. Our minds will stay believing in you. Our minds will stay trusting in you. We ask of these blessings today. In your Son Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Let every heart say, amen. Amen. We ask now that the officers will come for the purpose of tithing and offering. No matter how you try, Father God, we come now to say thank you, Master, for these gifts that have been given here today. And we pray, Master, that we use them to uplift and edify thy kingdom so that man can see that, yet, God, you still reside and you yet still have all power. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name. We do now pray. Let all hearts say amen.
Blessed assurance, Jesus.
Anybody here ever trusted God? Anybody ever been in a desperate situation and you didn't know if you were going to make it? But you trusted in God and
and he came to my rescue. When I felt like I didn't have anybody, my God was there. When I was weak, my God was there.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to Romans 8 and verse 30. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. And it reads, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Just for a few moments, I would like to talk with you, and since I've cried for the first 10 minutes, we won't get to all of this. I'd like to talk with you from the subject, God's system of salvation. God's system of salvation. In this text, we find Paul sitting at the table in a home of a Christian businessman in Corinth by the name of Gaius. Paul is dictating this letter to his scribe, Tertius. This letter was written to the Jewish and the Gentile Christians who lived in Rome. Paul was preparing them for his upcoming visit to the church in Rome. This church had not been visited by the apostles at this point. So Paul felt it necessary to send them an instrument that they could use as an instruction on how to be a Christian. And in writing this letter, Paul took the opportunity to do two things. He introduced himself to them, and he introduced God's system of salvation. In his attempt to do this, he discusses several things that are important to all Christians. But there were two points that he wanted to make sure that he drove home. He wanted to make sure he talked with them about what they need to believe, which we can find in chapters 1 through 11. And he also wanted to talk with them about how to behave as Christians, which we can find in chapter 12 through 16. So in today's sermon, we find ourselves sitting and listening to Paul talk to us about how to be what God has called us to be. And I think sometimes it's good for us to be told again on what it's like to be what God called you to be. As a manager, one thing that I like to do with my employees, I like to do reinforcement training. Go back over things that they should already know. Things that they should have gained knowledge of when they went through the original training. But for some reason, down the road, they lost a few of those things. They somehow just don't remember those things. When it comes to us, sometimes life beats out of us what we know, what we ought to be doing. Sometimes this journey can take us places mentally, spiritually, and physically that's dark. And when we come out of that darkness, for some reason, some of what we knew, we don't remember. I know this to be true because if you look at history, history shows us how man is blessed and then man falls.
I wonder how a man could be blessed at one era of life and then later on in that same era of life, they fail. Because we become comfortable. We become satisfied. And we don't cross our T's and dot our I's anymore. We feel like we've been successful and we've overcome that area in our lives. And we leave it open for the enemy to attack us. What I want you to learn in this lesson, you can't become comfortable. God's system of salvation requires that you stay punctual in all of your efforts. Stay committed in all of your efforts. Stay convicted in all of your efforts. Just because you have talent don't mean that your talent will get you to where you need to be. It's your conviction that people see. It's your conviction that people hear. It's your conviction that people feel. God's system of salvation is set up so that we can be successful. But in order for you to be successful, you can't sabotage yourself along the way. Many of us, we have this way of sabotaging ourselves. And I hear you saying, well, Reverend, I look blessed, I feel blessed, and I am blessed. I'm not talking about money. I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about your spiritual blessings. You sabotage yourself spiritually because you get tied up in things of this world. God wants you to be successful. God wants you to have what you desire. That's why Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. If you want to receive it the way that God intends for you to receive it, that you will stay blessed, do it God's way. Don't do it the world's way and then expect for God to bless you. Mm-hmm. Believe me, the world can bless you and God will have nothing to do with that blessing that you're receiving from the world. We have this messed up ideology where we monetize God's blessing. God's blessings are not monetized. Your money has nothing to do with God's blessing. It can be the result of God's blessing. But you got to be careful on how you achieve your blessing. You must do it God's way. You can't do it your way and expect for God to be a blessing to you. So here we sit listening to Paul talk about God's system of salvation. And Paul points out that there's something very important in God's system of salvation. There's a major factor that's called predestination. And so he wants us to see God's salvation through predestined eyes, knowing that you came into this world with a purpose and that there was a relationship with you and God before you got here. Amen. God wants you to understand that he sent you here for a purpose. And his purpose is not selfish. If what you do begins with you, then you're operating outside of God's purpose. If what you do begins with God, then you're walking in God's will. Now you're walking in what God purposed you to do while you were here. If you don't talk to God about what you're doing, then God is not there with you. But if you consult God about what you're doing, then God is walking with you. Paul wants us to understand that through predestined eyes, we ought to see things. There's some things that we must understand. And Paul said there are three components that we need to make sure of. Paul said you need to understand that you're called. I know many of us think that the only people who can be called are preachers. That's not true. All of us have been called. All of us have been sent with a purpose. All of us have been elected by God. The Bible helps us to understand this, that there is a predestined call. When we look at Ephesians 1 and 11, the scripture says this, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. In other words, children of God, God called you before the foundation of the world. He knew that you would receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. He knew that you would submit yourself to him because he had a conversation with your soul. And your soul made a covenant relationship with God. And your soul told God what you could and could not believe. I know there's a lot for you to swallow, but you must understand that God knew us before we got here. And if you're confused about that, go to Jeremiah. Jeremiah shows us that God said, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. Which means that God had a premortal life relationship with you. And God has called you and sent you into this world to do his will. He wants you to conform to his will and not to man's will. That's why Jesus taught the disciples in Matthew 6, the model prayer. And in that second stanza, he says, remember, he says this, he says, pray that thy kingdom will come, that thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God sent you here for your will to be his will, and for you to line up your life with his life. Line up what he intends for you to do in this world. Now, some of us are going to go back home not doing what God has called us to do, because we allow our will to take over his will. We must understand, and I know this is tough because we've been taught in this life that everything is about us. It's not about you. Let me say that one more time. It's not about you. It's about God. It's about you doing what he wants you to do. Let me share something real beautiful with you. If you do what God wants you to do, he'll let you do what you want to do. But if you do it the other way around, there's going to be a problem. But if you do what he wants you to do, he'll let you do what you want to do. It's just like your daddy at home. You can't do what you want to do in daddy's house until you do what daddy tells you to do. Amen? Amen? My older brother was my daddy. He gave me things I had to do. If I didn't do it, he better not catch me outside doing what I wanted to do. God says, I sent you here with a purpose. I sent you here to accomplish my will, because there are some things in this earth that I need you to do that no one else can do. There's some people in this world that I need you to touch that no one else can touch. I need you to meet some people and hold their hand, because in you holding their hand, there's anointing that's going to flow from me to you to them. And God says, this system of salvation is very deep, very complicated. But you don't realize that you are an intricate part of my system of salvation. That's why he said, I will not hide you. Amen? Amen. He said, I will let your light shine so that men will see my glory through you. God sent you here for a purpose. He sent you here to do what he called you to do. And in your call, I need you to understand there is an election. God selected you. He didn't send you here just by happenstance. He said, and put your name here, there is something that they can do that I placed in them to do. So I'm selecting them for a such as a time as this. You wasn't born during this period by chance. God selected you out of celestial beings that he had before him and in the conversations that he had. And he said, I'm going to take her. And in this time of life, I'm going to place her in this time of life. Because there's something in this time of life that only she can accomplish. There's some people that only he can reach. There's people that only he can touch. If you don't believe me, the text bears it out that God selected us before we was born. If you look at Romans chapter 9, verses 10 through 13, it says this, and not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by our father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to the election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. God chose Jacob over Esau before they were even born. He selected Jacob to be the leader of Esau, although Esau would be the older brother. God chose him because he knew something about the heart of Jacob. And as I close, I want you to know that God called you because there's something about your heart. Man may look on the outside. Man may look at how you cut your hair or how you wear your clothes. Man may look at your house and see how much money you have or what car you drive or what shoes you wear. Or a man can be even so vain that man look at the watch that you wear. But God looks at the heart. When God called you, he looked at your heart and knew that your heart could handle some things that perhaps you didn't know that you can handle. God said, I put some power in their heart, and their heart can overcome some things. Because the Bible teaches us that love overcomes many sins and faults. God knows what's in your heart. He elected you to be here today because of your heart. He elected you to be in the family that you're in because of your heart. He elected you to be in the job that you have because of your heart. God looked at your heart and said, although they're going to journey through trials and tribulations, ups and downs, good and bad, snares. They may even stumble along the way, but that heart that they have will see them through. Glory be to God. The doors of my father's house are now open. If there would be one, the time is now. And the Bible says, find God while he is near, for surely shall come a time where God cannot be found.
Gentle Savior, hear my heart. Why, Lord, I
saved. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. We ask now that our officers will come for the purpose of communion. As they come, I ask that you search yourself and make sure that there's nothing in you that will cause you to eat damnation unto your soul, or drink damnation unto your soul. The Bible shares with us that we ought to be forgiving people. After the model prayer that Jesus shared, that if we don't forgive, then we ought not to expect him to forgive us, which puts us in a place where we're at odds with God. So as I pray aloud, I ask you to pray silently, that there be nothing in you that puts you in a place where God is not pleased with you, so that when you eat from this holy table and drink from this holy table, you would not cause contamination to come upon your soul. Let us pray. Father God, here we are, your children, your servants. We're here for your purpose, for your will. And Master, we humbly submit ourselves now to you, that you can examine us to make sure there's nothing in us that can cause us to cause death to come upon us. Nothing that's in us to cause sickness to come upon us. For you said in your word that if we take from this table, which is holy and blessed by your hands, if we take from it and we're not worthy, the Bible shares with us that some of us have died, and even some of us are asleep right now because we have taken from this table unworthily. Cleanse us now by the blood of Jesus. Cleanse us so that we can sup with you, so that you can sup with us. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let every heart say amen. Master, we come now, asking as we prepare to leave this place, that you go before us. Move all obstacles out of our way, for we know that surely the enemy is waiting. But Master, if we go in peace and go with power, we can overcome his every attempt. And not only can we overcome his every attempt, we can destroy our enemies through your word. Be with us, lead us and guide us, cover us and keep us until we choose to return back to this place where you have chosen your name. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. Let all hearts sing.